by communal strife, extremism, and polarization. For President Bush, this is one of his last opportunities to talk about a signature issue of his presidency.
This will be an opportunity for him to reaffirm his commitment to religious freedom and tolerance and the importance of people of all faiths coming together.
White House Press Secretary Dana Perino says while the event was called for by Saudi Arabia, which has few religious freedoms, it's still a good opportunity to bring people of all religions together. In Washington, Mike Makowicz, Fox News Radio.
Vice President-elect Joe Biden will get to sit down with Vice President Cheney, and the wives will also be there for a tour of the vice president's official residence. There's also word from Democratic officials that Biden's chief of staff will be Ron Klain, who held that same job for Vice President Al Gore. They held a prayer service before classes today at Dillard High School in Fort Lauderdale. Dozens of students gathering. Some wore black. Others brought flowers and teddy bears the day after a 15-year-old classmate was shot and killed.
Witnesses say unrequited love was the motive for one 15-year-old girl to kill her friend and classmate. Several girls say the alleged killer of 15-year-old Amanda Collette was enraged by Collette's rejection of her affection.
That's Fox's Carmen Gentile. Ancient Rome doesn't look so ancient anymore.
Rome is rising again in 3D. Computer users can stand in the center of the Colosseum, trace the footsteps of the gladiators, or fly under the Arch of Constantine. A computer model developed by Google Earth depicts the ancient city in AD 320, when Rome boasted more than a million citizens. The computer graphics are based on a model created by archaeologists. There are only 300 original ruins standing today. Pam Puso, Fox News Radio.
Again on Wall Street, as the trading gets going, the Dow's down just 10 points. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
You're listening to 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com, the official stations of New Rock City, the place where you can enjoy a wholesome family entertainment experience.
Here's the updated weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity. We start off with clouds this morning, and there's a little bit of light rain and some drizzle throughout the daytime expected. Our highs today, generally about the lower 50s. For tonight, it'll be cloudy, some rain for the evening. Overnight, low temperatures settling back into the upper 40s, near 50. Mostly cloudy, some drizzle, maybe a shower or two on Friday daytime. Highs in the upper 50s, still the chance of showers at night. Nighttime lows in the lower 50s. Outlook for Saturday calls for overcast and wet weather with occasional rain and showers. Highs in the upper 50s. The showers taper off on Saturday night, Sunday back to partial sun in the upper 40s. Extended forecast calls for Monday to be partly sunny, only 43 to 48. Tuesday mostly sunny, 40 to 45. 40 to 45 again, sunshine on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for Whitney Media, WVOX, WVIP.
The latest forecast from the 1460 WVOX Weather Center. Brought to you by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center. Right for New York.
At Entergy, meeting our region's need for reliable, affordable, and clean electricity is an everyday success story. That's because our Indian Point Energy Center supplies up to 38% of the region's power needs. It also produces some of the least expensive power generated in the region. And most importantly, it does not produce greenhouse gas emissions. That's right, zero greenhouse gases. This plays a key role in helping this area improve its air quality. So it should come as no surprise that a growing number of environmentalists, including Dr. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, say nuclear power is a vital tool in the fight against global warming. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.safesecurevital.com. Because the more you know, the more you realize that Indian Point's clean, reliable, and affordable energy is a big part of the climate change solution.
1460 WVOX.
Whitney Media 1460 WVOX presents Environmentally Sound with environmental activist Bob Lebensold. Join Bob and his guests as they talk about protecting our most precious resource, the environment. Now, here's Bob Lebensold.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, November 13th, 2008, the 52nd day of autumn. We have lost 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 32 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 6:41 this morning. It will set at 4:38 this evening. We will have 9 hours and 57 minutes of daylight today. Okay. The moon will rise at 4:38 this afternoon. It will set at 8:35 tomorrow morning. Today is the full moon, and the next full moon is on the 12th of December. Next high tides, actually, in New Rochelle, it turned high 7 minutes ago. Next one in Yonkers will be 9:01 this evening. Dobbs Ferry, 9:29. Tarrytown, 9:45. And in Peekskill, 9:50, just about 20 minutes ago. Now our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives in Iraq. May they live on in all of our hearts. 9 American service members have died so far in Iraq. I'm sorry, that's old copy. My apologies. Casualties for this month are Staff Sergeant Timothy H. Walker. He's age 38 from Franklin, Tennessee. He died in Baghdad on November 8th from a roadside bomb explosion. PFC Theron V. Hobbs, age 22 from Albany, Georgia, died in a motor vehicle accident in Kirkuk on November 6th. Specialist Adam M. Wenger, age 27 of Waterford, Michigan. He was with the 4th Brigade Combat Team, 3rd Infantry, died of injuries sustained during a non-combat incident in Tunis, Iraq on November 5th. Those three men were all alive on the date of our last broadcast 2 weeks ago. Also, Private First Class Bradley S. Coleman, age 24, of Martinsville, Virginia. He died of injuries sustained also from a non-combat-related incident at Qayyara Airfield in Iraq on October 29th. And also on October 29th, Sergeant Scott J. Metcalf, age 36, of Framingham, Massachusetts. He was with the 101st Airborne. He died of injuries also sustained in a non-combat-related incident in Balad, Iraq. And I just don't know what they mean by non-combat incident. Seems like there's an awfully high rate of people dying of non-combat-related incidents. I just don't know what it's all about. No one has ever called to tell me, so I guess nobody knows. 3 of those soldiers were alive on the date of our last broadcast. 2 died the day before we last met. The first 3 lived long enough to see Barack Obama elected president of the country they were to die defending. May these American servicemen live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the very near future, because there are no more deaths to report. No Culture Corner today. We have, we have 3 guests here now. I'm expecting another one, and I want to give them as much time as possible to express themselves. This is a special. Okay. My guests today are Mayor Emeritus Ernie Davis of Mount Vernon. We're expecting Ron Tochi, Henry May, author Henry May, and A. Hamilton Blessed. All are present in our studio today for a live discussion of the results of our recent presidential election, and more importantly, the feelings which have arisen from those results. But before we begin the discussion, I would just like to make a confession. I have sinned. One of the deadly sins. I am guilty of pride. Proud to be a part of the history that America made last Tuesday. You see, I clicked one little lever and threw one big red-tipped handle and cast my vote along with millions of other Americans, and together we made history. Over the last 8 years, I have been down on my country, but in just one day, starting at 6 a.m. and ending around midnight, we did it, and I am proud. I felt different during this whole election season, did not allow myself to accept the possibility of an Obama win. Now I feel immensely relieved and even more different, like the color barrier has been swept aside. That America is about to rise like a phoenix from the ashes that remain after the Bush-Cheney years. Even the fact that I was a poll worker on the historic occasion of last Tuesday adds to my sin. But know what? Even if I must rot in Hades, I just can't help myself. The feeling won't go away. I am proud. Proud to be an American for the first time in 8 years, and perhaps prouder than I've ever been of my country. This is powerful medicine for an ailing country. Throughout history, men and women have arisen who make a difference, of course, now this is the exalted company, Joan of Arc, Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi. We cannot know what President Obama will do or how successful he will be, but we can help. We can come together as a nation and heal. We can support our new president. Obviously, people of color are enthralled, but so are people of goodwill everywhere. People of color know that many white votes went into this victory. He is ours together. Even Clarence Thomas, in his benighted apartment, must have shed a tear. On 9/11, it was said that everyone in the world was an American, and that is again so. Okay, in the studio with me right now are author Henry May, Mayor Ernie Davis, and my good friend A. Hamilton Blessett. And just arriving is Ron Tochi, former assemblyman, I believe, for 22 years, and either currently or just recently a commissioner of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Okay, welcome Henry May, Ernie Davis, Ron Tochi, and A. Hamilton Blessett. Well, we are here to essentially discuss the feelings that we all have about this election, and I do invite anybody who would like to call in to discuss with me or with anybody here anything that's on your mind. You don't have to agree. You can disagree violently. Just keep it respectful, and we don't hold you to any standard. Our telephone number in the studio is 914-636-0110. Okay, gentlemen, let's, I guess we could start anywhere. Where I'd like to start is we knew Jesse Jackson, Colin Powell, Al Sharpton. We knew all the visible black leaders in our country. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this Obama fella. What about that? Anybody can start. Just we didn't know him. All of a sudden, he's president-elect. How does that play? Ernie, you got something to say?
Let me say what. First of all, we stand on the backs of others, and you can't talk about Obama unless you talk about all of the efforts and all of the people who have died, both black and white. You got to talk about, of course, Dr. King, and you got to talk about the student movement, Stokely Carmichael. You got he is the repository of all those efforts. And someone asked me about Jesse Jackson and they thought Jesse was crying because he wasn't the one, and I said, you don't understand the movement. The mayor of, the former mayor, Willie Brown, said it that made sense to me. He said, they asked him, what would you advise Hillary Clinton to do when Barack was really catching on fire? He said, there are times in life where there's nothing you can do. Experience don't count. All of the prerequisites that we measure those tangible things about don't count. This is a movement, and nothing stops a movement. So there's nothing more powerful than a time that has come. And all of the collective efforts, all of the lives lost, all of the tears shed belongs in the person of Barack Obama.
Wow. Henry, you got something to say about this? Henry May is an author. Please get closer to the microphone.
Okay. Good. Yeah. I have experienced that euphoria that everybody's experienced here recently this month. And I can remember how I felt when Adam Clayton Powell was elected to office. I was on the scene at that time. I can remember how good I felt about David Dinkins being elected as mayor of New York City. I've had several of those kinds of experiences. And so here we have this gentleman who is elected to office. And I know that these offices that they will occupy are going to be tremendous challenges, and their success pretty much depends on who they surround themselves with and what their vision is for what it is that they wish to accomplish. And my concern now is not so much about the man that's been elected to the office, but the integrity that he brings to the office, the passion and the vision that he has for what he would like to accomplish. And my hope is, and of course some of the work that I will be doing will be to help him accomplish his vision, which obviously a lot of people agree with. So as Ernie says, it is a movement. When enough people, when you're able to describe what it is that you want to accomplish and what your vision is, and that's a difficult thing to do.
Sure.
Is to explain to people what you, what it is that you really want to do, what you see as...
And get them to join.
And get them to join and sign on. And it obviously happened early on. See, he's not a meteor that just suddenly came out of the heavens. He's been on the scene all of those years. How old is he?
40s. I don't know, but it seemed to me he was a meteor that just came out of heaven. Yeah. Well, not heaven, but he just arrived.
When they begin to describe the things that he's done in the community as an organizer and things like that, the work that he did in order just to get out of college. So he's been around. A lot of people have known him over his lifetime. So he's new to us, but he's been able to bridge that gap and make us understand that he's got something to offer. So I'm very pleased about that, and the euphoria is something that I've enjoyed in other instances.
Well, you said that you were you felt elation when Adam Clayton Powell, who was a congressman, I believe,
yes,
and David Dinkins, mayor of New York City, but the magnitude of President of the United States blows those guys. I mean, not that they didn't do what needed to be done and establish the shoulders upon which to stand, but isn't this just so much more extraordinary?
At this time it is, but at that time,
really?
To have a Adam Clayton Powell in Congress was extraordinary. To have Charlie Rangel, to have him win and go on and do the great things, that was extraordinary. I was in the classroom at that particular time. And I can remember how elated he was and how elated the community was. So it's timing also.
Okay.
And they're saying that about Obama. This is his time. This is a perfect time. You know, in business they say location, location, location. But I guess in politics it's timing, timing, timing.
Huh. Gentlemen, Mr. Tocci, Mr. Blessed, Ron Tocci.
Well, I agree with Ernie and Henry. I think this really epitomizes what America is supposed to be about. The diversity and the open-mindedness of so many people, maybe unlike what it was 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Here's a young, extraordinarily brilliant, very, very great communicator who was able to get into the hearts and minds of a lot of American public. And I think anybody who is of Afro-American descent would certainly express that ethnic pride. But remember, he's a product of a interracial marriage. He represents the best of both races.
True, but one drop of black blood that's visible tends to classify you as
that's
black.
True, but I think for those people that watch the struggles over the years... certainly have to be proud and feel elated. And for those that didn't support him, they should understand, too, that he has to be given a chance and an opportunity to prove himself. And I think with his intellect and his abilities to communicate, if he can develop the kind of respect, even if people don't agree with his basic philosophies, mm-hmm. He can do a lot of great things. And I'm very, very hopeful as an American that, this country will turn around just because there is that hope and expectation that there's something different and something special out there.
Very different.
So we're all going to look and see how people are going to react to him. I think my one concern or fear would be that he's being pressured by so many people to go to the left. And I think he's smart enough to understand he just can't do that. He's got to represent everybody's point of view, as he suggested in his speech I'm everybody's president.
Right, and even if you didn't vote for me, I still hear you.
And I think all of us, if you remember the concession speech of John McCain that night, you had to feel proud to be an American. I mean,
yes,
here's a
absolutely.
Guy who's a true American hero.
Absolutely.
In every respect, a great man. And he said it all when he talked about his opponent is now his president. And he's going to do everything he can to help this country become
magnificent
stay as great as
yes. that day. Both of them were. Hammy, what do you got to say about all? Hamilton Blessed is the first black electrician to be licensed in Westchester County. So he's more than 35 years old.
I'm afraid I'm a little older than that, too. I mean, I inadvertently, I became a civil rights activist back in 51 because I was in the service. And for some stupid reason, this mind of mine told me that Congress had desegregated interstate travel. So I was going from Biloxi, Mississippi to New Orleans.
And you were born in New Orleans.
Yes, right. And I sat in the front of the bus. Because, I mean, hey, this was an interstate travel, right? So everything went fine. On the way back, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, or maybe even later. I don't know. I hadn't been asleep on Saturday night at all. And I'm sitting. Somebody taps me on my shoulder and says, move. So I said, all right. I got up and I moved to the back. When I was getting off the bus driver stops me. And he pulls me over, and he's going to discipline me. He's going to explain to me the rights of white supremacy. And I listened to him. I listened. And when he finished, he said, and don't remember, next time you get on the bus, pay attention to that sign. I said, a damn sign doesn't mean a thing to me. And he hit me.
He hit you?
Yeah, he hit me. Now, I wasn't the first black to be struck by a bus driver, but I was probably damn near the first one to be struck behind the interstate travel law. I don't know. Maybe I was. Maybe I wasn't. But at any rate, I said, ah, there I was in Uncle Sam's Air Force, wearing Uncle Sam's uniform and glasses. And this white bus driver.
You were in the military wearing uniform.
I was in the Air Force.
Wearing your uniform.
Correct.
And this cracker had the nerve to punch you.
Correct, right. So, I mean, having come from New York and never experienced discrimination, mm-hmm. I just knew I had a case. So I ran
so
around.
After you hit him and knocked him out, then what?
No. I didn't hit him.
I
did not
okay,
hit him.
Okay, I guess it was different.
I went into the bus terminal, and there was two APs there, and I
Air
said,
"Air police."
I said, "Hey, this guy, a bus driver struck me," and they didn't listen to me at all. They grabbed me by both arms, rushed me out the place, and put me in the Jeep. And now, this took maybe 2 minutes for all this to happen. When we got in the Jeep, around the corner came the bus driver with at least 10 to 15 people coming to get me. And so they
coming to get you?
Yeah. So they whisked me off to the base. Okay. Well, things happened. Things didn't happen. They didn't go where I wanted them to go. And I discovered that discrimination existed, not only in the on the bus, but in terms of the service. And at that point, I became basically black. From there, I worked for integration and things of that nature every chance I could. When I was in California, I was a director of the NAACP Youth Council, and my purpose there was to integrate the council, because there were no black sailors or no black servicemen, period, came to the youth council because came to the USA, USO because all the girls there were white. So I went into town and I organized some of the NAACP youth to come and join the USO. From there I came home. And still basically conscious. I married a woman who's also basically conscious. And we started to do things. And when the civil rights movement really got to moving, back in the early 60s, we got involved. And in 1964, I produced a symbol that I considered to be accurate.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's a symbol there. That I considered to be presentable in terms of the movement. And the reason I did that was because I got tired of watching people at every meeting, at every gathering. There would be kids out there selling buttons, selling this, selling that. And around the corner, with general excuse expression, was generally a white person feeding them the business stuff to sell. So I said, you know, there's millions of dollars being wasted here. If we could organize under one symbol, we might be able to collect this money. Well, I tried. It developed into a movement thing, but it was never picked up in terms of money. So I was okay. So what?
I'm sorry, but others have been involved in the civil rights movement. We have about a minute before we have to go to break, and then of course we have a half hour. Ernie and Henry, you were involved in the civil rights movement.
Henry, I'm thinking very much about Obama right now.
Yes.
And the connection of the two words, black man, is bothering me a little bit. And I think they use the term black because we, as a black man, there are things that all black men share. But basically, he is a man, primarily, who has been elected to this high office. He happens to be black, and the term black means that there are some things that he probably shares with a lot of other black people.
Henry, I am going to have to stop you there. We have a break coming up.
Okay.
I'd just like to remind everyone you are listening to WBOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Brookline, Massachusetts, or Brooklyn, New York, Darwin, Australia, or Darwin, Minnesota, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live, and we will be right back.
This is the flagship station of Whitney Media, 1460 WVOX and worldwide at WVOX.com. Now, the latest update from Fox News Radio.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London. With economic clouds hovering, President Bush heads to the financial capital of the world.
President Bush speaks at Wall Street's famous Federal Hall as more bad news rolls in on the world economy. The Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development saying it believes the world's developed countries are already in a recession and will contract next year.
Fox Radio's Mike Makowicz. Unemployment claims last week reach a level not seen since just after 9/11. Still in the spotlight.
The past is the past.
But Governor Sarah Palin talks future at a Republican governor's conference in Florida.
The future for us is not that 2012 presidential race. It's next year in our next budgets and the next reforms in our states. And it's 2010 when we'll have 36 governor's positions open.
Tonight, Vice President Dick Cheney and his wife give Vice President-elect Joe Biden and his wife a tour of their official residence. Fox News, we report, you decide.
This is Bill O'Shaughnessy. For years and years around here, Mario Bulfamante and his sons, Stephen, Anthony, and Benny, have been the royalty of the landscaping and outdoor maintenance world, and I don't exaggerate a bit. Their marvelous new headquarters near the New Rochelle Humane Society off Fifth Avenue and off Potter is not the easiest place in the world to find, I can tell you, but it's the place individual homeowners go on their own for advice on everything that grows. And it's also the place professional landscapers take their clients to select plantings. The Mario Bulfamante and Sons Garden Center is a Westchester treasure. Call 914-636-4428 and ask for Anthony, Stephen, Benny, or the great Mario Bulfamante himself for directions. It's Mario Bulfamante time again in the land, I tell you.
Westchester has some really magnificent homes, and the very nicest ones often reflect the handiwork and genius of Michael and Stephen Scully. The brothers Scully have built a legendary reputation as master painters who specialize in interiors, custom wallpaper hanging, and complete exterior home painting. Sophisticated homeowners in Larchmont, Old Greenwich, Rye, Harrison, Bronxville, and points in between know of the Scully Brothers' craftsmanship. They specialize in quality residential painting. Both brothers are so good at what they do, their fans and admirers of many years have a difficult time recommending one over the other. But of this you can be sure. Michael and Stephen are now considered the two most gifted painters in the region. Call 914-584-4124. That's 914-584-4124. A good number to know about and save for your next home painting project. The Scully Brothers, the very best.
I've got a weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity. It looks like a chance of some rain this morning. It'll be cloudy throughout the daytime. Some occasional rain this afternoon, too, or highs into the lower 50s. Rain likely tonight, some drizzling fog overnight. Nighttime lows will settle back to around 50. Friday, mostly cloudy, a chance of some drizzle and occasional shower. Temperatures for the day into the upper 50s. A steadier rainfall redevelops on Friday night. Nighttime lows in the lower 50s. Saturday shower is likely upper 50s. Sunday partly sunny, though. Through the middle of next week. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for Whitney Media, WVOX, WVIP.
The latest forecast from the 1460 WVOX Weather Center, brought to you by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
At Entergy, meeting our region's need for reliable, affordable, and clean electricity is an everyday success story. That's because our Indian Point Energy Center supplies up to 38% of the region's power needs. It also produces some of the least expensive power generated in the region. And most importantly, it does not produce greenhouse gas emissions. That's right, zero greenhouse gases. This plays a key role in helping this area improve its air quality. So it should come as no surprise that a growing number of environmentalists, including Dr. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, say nuclear power is a vital tool in the fight against global warming. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.safesecurevital.com. Because the more you know, the more you realize that Indian Point's clean, reliable, and affordable energy is a big part of the climate change solution.
The voice of Westchester, 1460 WVOX.
We are back. We are speaking with Henry May, Ernie Davis, Ron Tochi, and A. Hamilton Blessed. Before we get back to our discussion, I'd like to just talk about my friends at the Learning Shop of Harrison, New York. Environmentally Sound is brought to you in part by the Learning Shop in Harrison. The Learning Shop is a full-service tutoring company which provides homebound services for upwards of 20 Westchester County school districts, unfortunately not Mount Vernon. But it does include Bronxville, Rye, Edgemont, Chappaqua, and New Rochelle. In addition, they provide private tutoring in all academic areas and for any number of standardized tests, GEDs, SATs, and whatever you need. The Learning Shop has been running an after-school resource room program for over 7 years. They have had numerous successes with college-bound students as well as remedial instruction. That program runs 5 days a week, 3:30 to 5:30. They have expanded greatly over the years, and they now occupy a suite of about 7 or 8 offices and classrooms. The pièce de résistance, as far as I am concerned, is a full state-of-the-art music studio for students who have time to indulge their talents, and I use that studio from time to time when I am mixing a song. They got great engineers there, great state-of-the-art software. If the Learning Shop does not have a program for a particular student's needs, they will usually create one to accommodate him or her. There's always coffee and tea, bagels and cream cheese, the cookies. They just do a nice thing. It's the Learning Shop of Harrison, New York. Their telephone number is 914-835-1070. That's 914-835-1070, the Learning Shop of Harrison, New York. And that they're not just sponsors, they're friends, and I believe everything I just said to you. You are listening to Environmentally Sound on WBOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Manchester, North Dakota, New Hampshire, or England, or Little Falls, or Niagara Falls, New York, or if you're listening in Hoboken, New Jersey, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You're listening live, and we are speaking live in the studio with author Henry May, Mayor Ernie Davis, Assemblyman and Commissioner Ron Tochi, and my good friend and electrician and activist A. Hamilton Blessed. Okay, we just before the break we were talking, well, during the break actually, we were talking about is Obama black enough? Obama was raised in Hawaii, in Indonesia. His mother is white. What about the racial component? He's, after all, his mother is white. And yet he is perceived by most Americans and probably worldwide as African-American. They speak of him as African-American. And in fact, most American African-Americans are not pure black Africans, almost every one.
And most whites are not pure.
And most whites are not either. But if you pass, you're white, regardless of your genetics and your blood. And if you show any color at all, you're considered African-American. How does all that race stuff feel? And now, in light of the Obama victory, how does it feel?
It's just a racist society. I mean, Obama, it's great that, for many reasons, black folks are just part of this puzzle. You had a leader that is probably the most he was effective, and don't get me wrong. Bush was the most effective president.
Sure, he made money for his dirty friends.
Right. He made money for a lot of people who had money.
People who were making bombs and stuff like that.
And he
made them lots of bucks.
He was very effective.
Sorry.
He got the...
I just kind of go off.
he made us, not us, and some of us, he made feel that we were going to be killed tomorrow, so therefore we had to give up certain rights.
You know what? I'd rather be killed tomorrow and not give up my rights.
Well,
I'd rather die fighting for those rights.
What I'm basically saying is that Bush, although he may come on as uninformed, he was not. He was there to do a job, and he did it well. It just was.
I hate it when you talk like this, Ernie.
Well,
that's my bias, I guess.
Well,
the devil is due. I don't want to give the devil his due.
No. He was very effective for those who were in the established elite. He wasn't. He didn't really care too much about the common man, his policies. You looked at the Patriot Act. I mean, people can spy on you, and they can use it to deny you certain rights, and they can even put you in jail. I mean, this man was lethal in the presidents. And when people say one man can do but so much, look at George Bush, and the historians will write that. But what Obama did, not just for blacks, he did it mostly for whites. And what people forget is that white people basically put Obama in office, not black folks.
Well, I think we all did.
No. Listen to me carefully. There were more whites. And when he beat Hillary Clinton...
There's more whites as a percentage of population.
Who had more votes.
Right.
If he just had black votes, he would not be sitting in the White House.
Obviously.
Okay, now. So what happened, it was a cleansing for a lot of white folks. So now you can't say we're prejudiced because we got a black man in office. Now,
is it that simple, though, Ernie?
Nothing is ever that simple.
I mean, the emotion of having this man as president goes beyond cleansing my soul of whatever vestigial racism there is. I'm happy.
Listen to me very carefully.
And it's not just, I don't know what it is. It's just
listen.
All right.
Obviously, there's euphoria because some barriers were broken down. But we are judged not by Obama. We are judged by what happens in the projects. We are judged by what is happening in the jails and the justice system. We are judged by families not being able to survive. We're judged by people who are not learning in the educational system that was set up. The jobless rate will continue.
Let me ask for some.
That's what's going to make the
Henry, what's your take on
Well, you know, sometimes a person, and the one thing that I can say about Obama is that he is equipped. He does come to the job with great skills in the field of law and habeas corpus, and I like the idea that you will get a chance, I think, under his leadership to be able to plead your case, which was not necessarily the case with the direction we were going in with Bush and Cheney, and we see what was happening within the Army and the military court procedures and things like that. That's all new stuff as a result under the Bush administration period. But I think that Obama's background in the field of law is going to bring an aspect of at least an opportunity to plead your case. Now, that's consistent with what has gone on with black folks under the Fugitive Slave Act and whatnot. You weren't allowed to even plead your case in court. And we've struggled over the years to be able to have our way and be able to say, hey, we want justice too. We want equal rights. We want civil rights. And so I think that that's one of the hopes that will be realized under Obama.
And in fact, one of your relatives, let me see if I get it right, your mother's uncle Fred's father, Charles, yes, was an escaped slave.
Yes.
And he was worried about, because this
exactly.
book, this Ex- book that,
exactly that
that you wrote called First Black Autos, actually, as far as you know, as far as anybody knows, this is the only black manufacturer of automobiles the world has ever known.
No. Okay.
And Charles, the person who started all of this, which you didn't know until you were well on, right?
Yeah.
Was always concerned as he was escaping to the North, to Ohio, from slavery. He was always worried about that Fugitive Slave Act.
And believe it or not, a lot of that those legal precepts carry over to today. Our laws, you know, we have conditions in our laws that talk about what the Slave Act was about, services and labor. The unions and things are trying to protect labor, and we have that. That's going on all over the country. But it's just amazing. Not until I wrote this book did all the research did I really become that involved with what was going on in terms of the justice system and black folks. And so I'm pleased with Obama because as a lawyer, I think he's going to watch out for certain kinds of things. It's consistent with some of the things that are in the book.
And you can find out more about this book or order a copy. It's called First Black Autos, written by my guest today, Henry A. May.
Thank you.
The website is firstblackautos@gmail.com. You'll probably be contacting Donna Jackson, who is your daughter, I believe.
Yes.
So that's what it is. Fascinating little book, and certainly if you have an interest in either black history or automobiles, I think you should certainly consider
this. Can we go back to that issue of the blackness there for a quick second?
Yes.
You're working and you're involved in society, and it's not until you run up against something that you recognize, as he talked about what happened to him on the bus. It's not until you run up against something like that, you realize that you're black. And black folks are dealing with that on a regular basis. It's not until you get into a restaurant and somebody passes you, the waiters pass you by, the taxis pass you out on the street that you realize, wait a minute. But you're standing out there as a regular passenger. And to just move this over to Obama, I'm pretty sure he was running for office to do the best that he could for this country, and he's going to have to deal with the fact that he's recognized as a black man, and he's going to run into some things that are going to make him know that he's
black. So you think when he's just going about his thing, he's not even thinking about it?
I don't think
he hasn't had that bus experience.
Exactly. Well, no, I don't know what experiences he's had. I think he's had some experiences, and he's having experiences today.
So does he know he's black?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Ron Tocci, you have something to contribute?
Yeah, I think from a different perspective, I think the media overplayed the race issue.
Yes.
I believe America is certainly changed from 100 years ago, and I think that most people recognize that here was a very, very articulate, compassionate, and passionate type of person who they really wanted to see in the White House because they wanted change. If you look and analyze the results of the election, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, the three states that were really in play, Obama won them all. The economy was the key issue.
Throw North Carolina
in. Those states, though, with the most electoral votes, really were the highest percentage of unemployment to this day in this country right now. Oh. Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan. And no matter what McCain tried to do, he couldn't break away from the fact that the system for the last 20 years was basically the same. Obama capitalized on that because he had the ability to communicate to the public that he was for change and this is the issue. So I think to a large extent, it wasn't so much black and white, this campaign. It was really what people believed to be the troubadour who was going to bring change to this country. And as Henry suggested, the little guy, the medium income guy, he was the guy that he seemed to focus on, and the people got that message. I think he's going to have some problems. I think that, as I said earlier, the pressures on him from the black community, from the liberal community, mm-hmm. are going to be tremendous. And for him to have to resist the pressure to go one way or the other is going to be his biggest challenge. If people respect him in the Congress, he'll be able to get things done. If they lose respect, then there's going to be a problem.
Of course. Hammy, do you think that it was not about race at all?
I'm going to tell you something that you probably nobody ever bothered to think about. I think it's about religion. This man is the second coming. I mean, look at him. Look at how he talks. Look at how he brings people together. I mean, he has his emotions are under control. It's like he was raised as a Buddhist monk.
It's as if he wasn't really, was he?
Yeah, correct. If he had been raised as a Buddhist monk, he couldn't be more under control than he is right now. So he sees things different than we do. He sees the whole picture, I feel.
So when you say it's about religion, you mean that he has become a religious figurehead for the American electorate?
Well, I'll put it to you like this, okay? Everything about him is religious, except the fact that there is no religion involved at all.
Which is very Buddhist.
Right, correct. But, I mean, if you consider when he got the election, he didn't downplay anybody. He said, come together. Please come together. And this has been his constant program, his constant thought. We can change, just come together.
I think people sense that. I think they sense that he's sincere about it.
Right. But I'm saying that this, to me, is his power. And this is what he will use. But it's like, as I said, like a religious leader.
So religion, race, economy, is he such a bring together kind of guy that he answers the aspirations or he provides hope to the aspirations of all Americans, something like that?
He provides hope to the whole world.
Yes, that's another thing. The international reaction. How about that? Anybody?
You know, I watched McCain pitching to one while they were still on the stump. And I watched McCain pitching to a group of people, I forget where it was, but he almost was saying, vote for me and I'll make sure that we have wars, because these people were involved with military, producing military equipment, bullets or cannons or something like that. And I said, oh my God, that's a heck of, course their jobs depend on those factories staying busy and whatnot. But that was pretty much what he was telling them. You know, Obama is talking about trying to peace, to strive for peace, And what's that going to do to your job?
And that's what Dwight Eisenhower said. And that's what he meant when he said, beware the military industrial complex. And he was one of the few five-star generals. How much more military can you get?
I think that just seeing what McCain was saying to those people who were in serious economic trouble as far as their job throughout the world gave a picture of the difference between the two men in terms of how they saw solving the problems that we had.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like when forces come together, like lumberjacks, they want to keep cutting down trees. You're going to cost our jobs. Well, what happens when the last tree is cut? Why do you have to wait that long? If there are other, certainly society evolves in other ways, there are other things you can do. It's not just, I'm a lumberjack, I was born to be a lumberjack, I'm genetically a lumberjack, I have to be a lumberjack. We have one phone call. Let's take it. You want to put on your headphones? Emma? Go ahead, caller.
Hello, I'm hooked to you, Winnie Mullen.
Hello, Winnie.
How are you? Listen, in remembrance of all our veterans, Armory must remain in Nourishell somewhere and given a new look, really. Now, Fort Slocum also should be renamed Fort Slocum. Let us know another time. Who was David's Island named after? And also, I know there's not much time, Barack Obama, his mother was white. His grandmother was white. In the Jewish religion, if your mother is Jewish, you're really Jewish. So he's white as well as black. And congratulations to him.
Thanks.
And thank you.
Thank you, Winnie.
For all the work that you've been doing for the veterans.
Thanks very much, Winnie.
Okay.
Let me interject something here that
Ernie Davis,
Ron Tochi and I both know. Barack can have the best intentions in all this world. There are other powers in government that will suggest whether he fails or, for instance, it's very necessary who he puts around. Like if he puts somebody in charge like Bush did, as Attorney General, black folks will have the same problem that they had before.
No, but he won't.
Well, I'm saying that people need to understand the structure. Obama brings people together. He's a rock star. I mean,
absolutely.
250,000 people show up in Germany. I mean,
people were weeping in France, for God's sake. Paris, on election night, people were crying in the streets in Paris. There's the Eiffel Tower, and there's this girl weeping.
JFK.
Paris, American president.
Right. JFK had the ability to be Camelot.
Yes.
This young man does too. However, it was LBJ, who people don't talk about, that did more for black people's aspiration than John F. Kennedy. So we have to understand how government really works.
Sure.
I mean, so we need, why do you think McCain is down in South Carolina trying to help this guy? Because if you can control Congress and the chances are you can get a lot of things passed. And if you bring in the right people, the head of these agencies,
right,
they reflect the philosophy of the president.
Well, George Bush put in charge of, he put industry people and lobbyists in charge of agencies. He absolutely put foxes in the hen house in every case. He took science, he threw science out the window when it pleased his political agenda. The scientific literature that I read now, the Journal of Nature, Nature, and Scientific American, various science publications that I read, they're all elated because they say, finally, you're going to put a scientist in charge of science rather than political appointees.
And they play politics with the justice system.
Totally.
And so
Obama won't do that. We know this intuitively.
Well,
I have to say, yes, as you say, the structure of government depends on who he puts around him.
Absolutely.
I have the slightest doubt that he's going to put quality men and women, whites and blacks, gay and straight, everybody around him to make these decisions and to contact, to maintain a connection with all. As many Americans that have enough of an open mind to accept, I'm tired of the word change, a progressive government. We have a couple of minutes left. Gentlemen, please jump in if you have something to say. Anybody?
Well, I think a lot of people are going to be looking. And you know, they say sometimes the job makes the man. And this definitely is an awesome job. And whatever strengths, whatever qualifications he has are going to come to the forefront. Whatever weaknesses he has, people are going to take advantage of those too. But I think that he's up to the job, and he'll probably come through with flying colors.
I think so too. I'm afraid we're going to have to. We have another minute.
Anybody? Okay, I'll
Patty?
Speak.
Yeah. Give us a minute.
When I speak of religion, religion has been the most destructive thing to mankind ever since it was invented. I think Baromet can bring the religious groups together. I mean, why are the Arabs against us? Because they don't like Christians. But I think he would be capable of finding a common ground for all religious groups to meet.
Okay, I get it. Now, I just want to just add this. I don't know how important it is, really. I don't remember this, but my mother told me that as a boy in the playground, I used to play with Mickey Schwerner, one of the three, Michael Schwerner, James Chaney, and Andrew Goodman, who were killed in in Mississippi. He was a childhood buddy. I do not remember, but that's what I've been told. I would like to thank Mayor Ernie Davis, Ron Tocci, Henry May, Hamilton Blessed for joining in our discussion, for coming down. The results of this election did not just get America past the issues of race and racism. In fact, there will still be those issues for a long time. As Mayor Davis has said, after the joy of seeing a man of color win the presidency and the realization that we as Americans, white and black, put him there, people still have to pay the bills. That did not change overnight, but I dare say a major, major step forward has been taken by America, and there I go sinning again. I am just so proud. Our thought for the week, we did it. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio. Next up, publisher Howard Sturman. Thank you very much for listening, and remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.